Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Really, for San Francisco, in a game where at five and six, you got to have a game like this, trying to keep up with Arizona and Seattle, who won today. To lose is one thing. To get blown out and have Mitch Trubisky play basically the entire fourth quarter for Buffalo is a totally different story. Juszczyk fumbled at the goal line. Debo fumbled a kickoff return. Brock Purdy had a ball slip through his hands as he tried to throw it. It was a comedy of errors for San Francisco. They are a far cry from the team that went to the Super Bowl last year and won an over and lost in overtime. No Nick Bosa. Okay, we know that Ayuk's out for the year, but what an embarrassing showing here. And kudos to Buffalo for not being afraid of the elements and the weather and going out there and laying waste to the 49ers. But San Francisco knows the score here. They've got to start winning some of these games. And to be non-competitive in this game is an embarrassment and a joke for a team that came into the season as the favorites to win the NFC, Pat.
Yeah, this is their season's done. This is 2 weeks in a row that I felt that they got outmanned, out-physical. And they're just dealing with too much, like I alluded, heading into the season, that I had a feeling that they wasn't going to be the team that everybody thought they would be with the contract situations, the injuries that they're dealing with, now losing Christian McCaffrey for the year, which I said as well, which was a good idea to bring him back if he's not completely 100%.
Well, you're putting the cart before the horse a little bit, but I understand where you're coming from, having watched the replay of him just giving himself up on that play and saying, I'm done.
Yeah. Not only that, it's when you have an Achilles injury and you happen to travel over to Germany to get rehab and trying to see all these special, doctors, with me being an athlete, if you're working on something so much, all it's going to do is create a chain reaction. And it looked like his knee just gave out on him, because when you're going through rehab, some people don't work, everything. They're trying to get that one ligament or whatever the injury is back to what it once was.
That's why they need the Pilates.
No doubt about it. Them little muscles, them small muscles, man, I'm telling you. But I just felt like that injury came from a chain reaction from the Achilles, and his knee just couldn't hold up, and it was cold in the element. So a lot played into that. But I said it from the beginning. If Christian was not 100%, they need to sit him out for the entire season, because now this is going to set them back even more. Now, don't even know what the injury is, But this, I feel like this is going to set the San Francisco 49ers back even more, because they're not only that their window of winning a championship, I feel, has closed, but now they're going to have to reorganize this team, because now you got to pay the quarterback. You know what I mean? So it's going to be.
And I know how you feel about that. He was 11 of 18 for 94 yards tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting seeing what the 49ers do moving forward.
But he this can't swing the ball in the wind and the snow like the other guy can. Remember when a lot of 49ers fans felt like they got robbed in that NFC Championship game against Philly because of his elbow injury? But I don't have confidence in the bad weather in Philly in a big spot like that he was going to come through.
No.
And me either. And obviously the weather was much worse tonight than it was then, but I think there's some revisionist history on that. And I agree with you. I think that with having to pay him now, their best chance to win a Super Bowl has come and gone. For Buffalo, this was supposed to be a year where they had to maybe take a step backwards to take two steps forward, mm-hmm. because they lost all those guys on defense. Milano got injured early in the year and they had to reshuffle the deck. And look at them. I mean, Josh Allen threw a touchdown pass and caught a touchdown pass on the same play. I don't think that ever happened from what
first,
I can tell.
First quarterback to ever do. I just saw the stat.
James Cook is a guy from Miami. He looks like he was built for this weather. He had 100 yards early on. Ray Davis had a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They're the best team in the AFC. I think they're going to get the one seed. They've got the tiebreaker on Kansas City. Yep. And the road, just like it almost did last year when KC went there and barely won, but Bass missed the field goal. I think the road to the Super Bowl is going to have to go through Buffalo, Patrick.
Yeah. That's what it's looking like. We all know what happened on Friday with the Kansas City Chiefs, with them scaving by the Raiders once again, scaving by a game once again, as they have been all season long. But I agree with you 100%. It looks like the Buffalo Bills are the team to beat right now. They're playing with a ton of confidence. And if you have to go to Orchard Park, it seemed like it's going to be a very, very tough outing trying to get a W out of there.
And I used to think that they really, ironically, were not built to win games in bad weather because they were so pass heavy. Mm-hmm. But since the offensive coordinator change, they've run the ball better. Cook and Davis, their offensive line, you don't want to run Allen too much. He only ran it three times in this game, which is good. You preserve him for the playoffs. They are a multidimensional, beat you several different ways offense. They really do not have many weaknesses. And so I wanted to see when they lost those two measuring stick games to Baltimore and Houston early in the year, how they were going to respond. Mm-hmm. And they've done a great job. They beat Kansas City, come out of their bye, and they absolutely shellack San Francisco. So props to Josh Allen, and he got engaged during his bye week.
Congratulations to Josh.
Did you get engaged during the football season, Pat, or did you put that off? I did.
Yeah, November. November 16th was the actual date.
Was that a bye week too?
No, I was in season. It was on a Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, 2011.
Spur of the moment, or was it planned?
Spur of the moment.
What a move.
She was in the bed.
And did you have the ring yet, or did you just say, hey, okay?
Yeah, I had everything. Yeah, I had it. It just wasn't out to dinner. But me and my wife, we've been married 12 years now. So we just did our 10-year anniversary 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I kind of redid it. So I took her out to dinner, had a flower, saxophone player, and all of that stuff for our anniversary, and I kind of re-proposed to her. So
gotcha. Josh looked like he spent about $100,000 on flowers for that proposal. Who knows what he paid the photographer? Probably too much. All right, let's get to the games. The Eagles and Ravens was the biggest one today.
Yep.
Philly wins this matchup of Super Bowl contenders. Pat, what was your biggest takeaway from it?
Man, Philly looking like the team to beat. Not only in the NFL, but in the NFC. They're starting to play with that swagger that they played with when they went to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts is playing efficient football right now. We all know what Saquon Barkley is doing. He's on pace right now for 2,100 yards, I believe, with the track marker so far, if he continue on the pace that he's on. And I think that was the missing piece for the Philadelphia Eagles offense, having a sustainable running game. Last year they had a running back by committee. Now they have a legitimate every down running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield, that can change the game at any given time in the game. And their defense have picked up the pace. You know, we had questions about them early on in the season with Bangio and his and his style of defense. If those guys were going to to pick up his scheme and his terminology, and boy, have they did. You know, so the Eagles right now is playing with a ton of confidence, a ton of swagger.
So you move them ahead of Detroit.
I have them two teams in the NFC Championship game. That's going to be a game for the ages, in my opinion. If that matchup end up happening. But I don't know just yet.
What have you done for me lately? I'm going to move Philly ahead of them because Detroit needed a coaching blunder so bad that it got a guy fired the next day to beat Chicago at home. Mm-hmm. And Philly just did something that literally only one other team, the New York Giants, have done. And that's an NFC team taking down Lamar Jackson. And I know they got good special teams luck because Tucker looks like he's ready for the glue factory. Man. Which is sad, but they held Lamar Jackson in check. He was under, I want to say, pull it up for me, Spence. I think it was 237 passing yards from Jackson. Henry under 100 rushing yards, so neither one of those guys came close to their average. Mm-hmm. Cosmetic touchdown at the end to make the final score even closer than it really was. And here's the other thing about Philly that I think is the hidden part of this game. So not only do they benefit from Tucker's missed field goals, that's fine. Usually with Baltimore, for years, they've always had the special teams advantage. Harbaugh was the special teams coach. Tucker never missed. The punter there was always good. Cook before the new guy came in, Stout. Jacoby Jones is a return man. I mean, they were always so buttoned up on special teams. So not only does Tucker miss these kicks, but then you look at the Eagles punter in this game, Pat. He had five punts inside Baltimore's 20. He had two inside their 10. He had one down at the 1 yard line. The one down at the 1 yard line ended up setting Philly up with a short field. That's when they scored their first points of the game in the second quarter. That's when they got rolling in this game. Yeah. So that's a hidden aspect of this. Three phases. You've got a great offense, defense playing out of its mind right now, number one in yards allowed. And then you sprinkle the special teams in. Their kicker Elliott's been a little bit shaky. Their punter was excellent today. Covey, their return man, came back and gave him a little bit of a bump. He had an injury that he finally is better from. Complete football team. I mean, this Barkley pickup was the biggest move made by any team in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And second might have been them getting this defensive coordinator in there who's considered one of the best, because Sirianni, a month and a half ago, they were ready to get him the hell out of there, Pat, in this 8-game winning streak. And they're not just doing it against cupcakes now. You go into Baltimore and win this game, you show the world that you're legit this year, and we'll see. Last year, they collapsed in the last month. Started December in 2024, looks a whole heck of a lot better.
No doubt about it.
And what do you do with Justin Tucker if you're Baltimore? Do you bring in kickers for tryouts this week? I think I have to.
Yeah, you might have to. Just to get him, I don't know, get him out of his own head to make him. Because I know Justin is not trying to miss these kicks on purpose. He just probably need a little competition to get him back on track. I don't know. But this is very uncharacteristic from Justin Tucker to be missing multiple field goals in one game time after time and time again.
Yeah, because everything with him inside of 60 yards looked like it was automatic until this year.
I know. But we all know age is undefeated. All right, moving on to the Arizona and the Minnesota Vikings game. The Vikings win the Pat P Bowl. What was the biggest story? Vikings comeback or the Arizona Cardinals collapsing?
So I just to make sure I have this right, you root for Arizona in this game?
Honestly, I was rooting for both teams, to be honest with you.
How do you do that? Like, you just cheer every good play, basically?
Yeah, exactly. I was a commentator. I was cheering. I had no skin in the game. Well, I did have skin in the game because I played for both of them. But every good play, regardless who made it, I was cheering. So I was in a win-win situation.
That's interesting. Well, I think the bigger story here is the fact that Minnesota did it again. I'm going to actually go with the positive end of this because I think the low-hanging fruit is to go to the Kyler stuff. I'll let you do some of that. But I mean, just two interceptions again. The first of the two is the backbreaker in this
game.
Oh,
my gosh.
I know. It's the second week in a row he's had one of those ones where you're just scratching your head into your hair.
This is not a guy we wanted to see.
I know, man.
But go ahead.
It's just Arizona's defense is very underrated. And it had been a bitch for teams to score touchdowns against them the last few games. Mm-hmm. And it looked like Arizona was going to win this low-scoring game until things clicked for Darnold again in the fourth quarter. And I think from a coach's perspective, so you've got O'Connell imbuing Darnold with confidence, still putting the ball in his hands, asking him to make plays, not playing it conservatively in the fourth quarter to win it. And then Aaron Jones, too. Aaron Jones fumbled twice in this game, and there he was catching the game-winning touchdown pass. Another move. Some coaches would put a running back in the doghouse for that. It's a veteran player. He doesn't do that. He gives him a chance to win the game late, and he comes through for him. It's just been an unreal coaching job by O'Connell. When J.J. McCarthy tore his ACL in the summer, I think for a lot of Vikings fans, they felt like hope was lost this year because they didn't have visions of winning the division with Detroit or making the playoffs, but they wanted to see what the young quarterback might be able to do. Instead, Darnold is having a career year. Their defense makes huge plays in critical points in the game, and they've got playmakers on offense, Pat, that are finally showing what they can do because they've got a quarterback and an offensive play caller who can get him the ball.
Yeah, yeah. I see your story, but I'm going to go with the collapsing of the Arizona Cardinals. Here's why, because, yes, the Minnesota Vikings has always been able to come back and win close games. Hell, I was a part of the team when we had the largest comeback in NFL history. But to see the Arizona Cardinals continue to go down this trend late in the year, not able to put winning football together, and it starts with the quarterback. He played well enough in this game to help them win the ball game, but those turnovers, that was a difference maker in this game because their defense was playing lights out, really holding Minnesota to no touchdowns until 3 minutes left in the ball game.
Yep.
You know, so it hurt me to see, you know, the Cardinals not finish that game, especially when they went up, 12, 13 points, I believe, when Marvin Harrison scored the first touchdown of the game.
And, I mean, yes, not only that, but, like, my thing is they had 9 points at the half when they had the ball for most of the first half and had, like, almost 250 yards. Those drives got to be touchdowns and not
field goals. No doubt about it. That's exactly what I was about to hit on as well.
Minnesota's in a spot where they can't even come back and win the game.
Right. And that was, hell, that was San Francisco 49ers' problem tonight. You know, they got down there countless of times but wasn't able to push the envelope, push the ball in there.
No, they were doing what they've done all year, which is beat themselves.
Exactly. So that hurt me to see because I felt like the Cardinals was finally taking a step. I was hoping that last week game was a monkey wrench thrown into the fire, but it just seems like late in the year, the team, the quarterback just loses juice. So I know it's a long season, but this team is going to be relying on you to carry them throughout the season, you know. So I was very disappointed to see the Cardinals fall back into the trend that they have always done late in the year. So the collapsing of the Cardinals to me is the biggest story.
Well, and it was right for the taking there for them to get back into control this division. Now they trail Seattle, who we'll get to in a minute. And now you're fighting the uphill battle. You're fighting the narrative and you're fighting the psychology of the team, having lost a lot of games like this over the past few seasons.
Right.
To my team, the Steelers, who are now in a driver's seat position, 9-3, one-and-a-half-game lead on Baltimore in the division, but they also beat them head-to-head, so they have the tiebreaker. Highest-scoring game in the NFL this year, 44 points from the Steelers. Russell Wilson threw for over 400. It was an offensive explosion, Pat. How far can Mr. Unlimited take this team?
Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, my God. It's still one of the corniest videos I've ever seen in my entire life, dude. It actually makes
Russell,
me.
Who do you get your advice from?
Oh, my God.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Hey, Pete, I know I love you. I got good advice from everybody, but Mr. Unlimited. But I believe Mr. Unlimited can take this team as far as he can, because like I told you when they signed
him. How far is that?
I believe he can take these guys to the Super Bowl, because like I told you, when the Pittsburgh Steelers first signed him, this was a team that needed this type of quarterback play. And it was a match made in heaven, because he's coming from a system and a team form damn near identical as it was his first 10 years out in Seattle. So him coming here, having a number one, number two defense in the league, he understands what he has to do in order for the team to be successful. Throw great down the field balls, obviously control the game, control the clock with the running game, and convert third down conversions when I need to. And he has been doing that ever since he's been inserted into the lineup. So, and on top of that, what he threw for 400 yards today?
Yep.
That's the first time, first 400-yard game in God knows how long from a Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback since Big Ben. I'm
100% sure. Since Big Ben.
You know, so, and the defense just continued to come up with countless plays, man. Nick Herbert with the strip set. T.J. Watt with the strip set. DJ Jackson with the tip interception. We all know this team is going to be well coached. Now that they have a quarterback that's not afraid to push the ball down the field, that's going to get the ball to his playmakers, this team is a very, very, very dangerous football team, because even if they play on the road, it's going to be a home game.
That's exactly the kind of win I needed to see from them to still believe that they can win the AFC and win playoff games, because everybody scores points on Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So if they went in there and they won a low-scoring game, I would actually come out of the game feeling worse about them, because good teams hang points on Cincy. Washington right. went in there and did it. Baltimore did it twice. The Chargers did it. If you consider yourself a contender or close to it, you pound this team with your offense and score 30-plus points and make Joe Burrow play a perfect game.
Yep.
And so they did that. I mean, they didn't punt until late in the game. The interception, the pick six, was on a horrendous call where Pickens got his head basically ripped off
right.
and went for an interception the other way with no penalty. So that's what I needed to see. I like that you brought up the defensive highlights, because this is going to sound crazy to people that didn't watch this game. The Steelers gave up 38 points. I was impressed by their defense, man.
I was going to say the same thing.
Bro. I actually thought they played it in Tomlin probably would throw up in his mouth hearing me right. say that. But two of those touchdowns were in garbage time.
Yep.
And they made those game-changing. They scored a defensive touchdown. They forced those two big turnovers against Joe Burrow, who has been dynamite this season. Mm-hmm. So I loved this game for them. You basically stick a fork in Cincinnati, and at the same time, your quarterback showed. And look, let me just say this, though, about Cincinnati, Pat. Mm-hmm. I am shocked their defensive coordinator hasn't been fired this season. It yeah. is ridiculous watching that game. Russell Wilson dumped the ball off over the middle to one of their run. Didn't matter which running back was in the game. It happened like 15 times.
Yeah.
Their running backs had 100.
Patterson. Yeah. Yes,
their running backs had 140 receiving yards in the first half.
Yeah, that's
no ridiculous. Adjustment got made.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And it's the same defensive coach with Anarumo and a lot of the same guys that beat Kansas City
yeah.
a few years ago. So you could hear it in Burrow and Chase after the game. They know they pretty much have to score on every possession or they're going to lose. It's like a damn Big 12 football game from back
right.
in the day.
100%. 100%.